Hello and welcome to Art and Labor. Quick introduction before this episode. I am OK Fox.
And I am Lucia Love.
I want to do a special welcome to new listeners. This is an episode about a tweet that went viral, and we recorded a reaction to it yesterday.
So you probably found out about our podcast because you reacted to the tweet.
Yeah.
And this is the first thing you're going to hear.
So we want to do a fresh hello. I'm OK Fox. I am a fucking little weirdo that makes prints, and I helped run a like non-hierarchical gallery in the Silent Barn for 2 years that's currently between spaces, called Disclaimer Gallery. I help run zine fairs, one called Paper Jazz, and I founded one called Zine Feast at SUNY Purchase. That's where I'm coming from. And Lucia, you want to say a little about yourself?
Oh, I'd love to. I'm Lucia Love, and I am a painter. I have done various shows around New York. I've also been the assistant director of Family Business Gallery. And what else? I love making jingles.
Ugh.
And you can Venmo me at Lucia Love Mooney Martin.
Mooney Martin.
Yeah, I have a really long name.
My Venmo is at OK Dash Fox. It's very short. My name is very short. It's my real name. So don't fucking ask.
My name is my real name too.
Yeah. Real names.
Real.
Just freaks.
Welcome.
Welcome to the show. So
this
This tweet, we think it's good that people really want to think about this stuff, and people from all stars and stripes had like all sorts of reactions to it. And
One of the the best ones from a friend and a colleague is coming up.
Yeah, we wanted to read our friend Lorelai Ramirez's tweet response to this specifically because we think it was like probably the best one.
Yeah.
I looked at them like all day.
Very succinct.
And I meant to say this one in the original recording. I didn't. So Lorelai wrote, artists are poor because internships don't provide any money. Artists are poor because big art factories force people out by neglecting their safeties. Artists are poor because they have to navigate through sexual advances to get anywhere. Don't publish this bullshit. LOL. What the fuck?
Yeah, thank you.
That was great, and that was at ArtNet. And the other thing I wanted to mention is that ArtNet is a bullshit PR garbage fake blog.
They just write to people who are looking to buy things from people who are already making tons of money and are completely out of touch with anything that you may be going through.
It's basically the propaganda for Gagosian and for the other big box galleries. Like that's what it's for.
And auction houses.
And it's,
they just give you buying tips. I mean, if you get into ArtNet, congratulations, because you're probably going to make a sale.
So they wrote that article so that their collectors can pat themselves on the back and be like, the artists are fine. They like not getting paid. Or whatever.
Yeah. Look, it's just that the artist has a really particular mind. It's like they're not quite human. They don't have the same responses. They have this whole other way of like experiencing what it means to be taken care of financially. Mainly by a rich person.
We get into it in the pod. But yeah, fuck that, like, fascist phrenology bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
Fake pseudoscience.
Oh, yeah.
Garbage to justify your fucking lack of care for your fellow human beings. You
also,
fucking psychopath.
We're on 24th Street and 11th Street. Avenue.
Hey, everybody say hello. This is the time everyone can say hi.
Say hello, fam.
Come on, say
hey,
hi.
What's up?
Hi, Lex and Linda.
Hi.
Hello.
And Kamara and Rachel.
Hi.
What's up, kids?
We got the whole fam out on 24th and 11th.
We're at an opening right now.
I'm in a
Come
show.
Visit us right now.
Oh, yeah, we mentioned the show on the pod, but yeah, now we're at the show.
Yeah.
They didn't serve alcohol because, like we say in the episode, nobody gives a shit about summer shows.
Yeah.
There's no beer. How could there be no beer?
It's
You can't have an opening without at least
A beer. Like, one beer
for OK.
It was that one guy. One guy brought in a PBR and a black plastic
bag. Dude, if I had known they wouldn't have beer, I would have done the same thing.
God damn.
I would have brought wine for just me, me, Linda, and Reagan. I would have brought wine for
I would have brought a flask of whiskey.
Yeah, you. Linda said she would have bought a bottle of champagne. Like,
damn.
Totally.
Well.
But yeah. Yeah, come check out the show. It's up all summer. It's at C24 Gallery. But also, fuck
it. And it's cool.
It's a good show. I really like it, honestly, to be honest. But yeah. And welcome to our podcast also.
Welcome, new listeners. Every episode is not always going to be like this. If you check back in our catalog, we also go through literature. We're going to be talking about Hito Steriel's work.
Yeah.
From here on, so, you know, get ready for everything to get serious again.
Yeah, we talk about, like, a lot of different historical, like, actions in the late 60s and early 70s from...
up to today.
Yeah, up until today. But, yeah, our first episodes are really neat. They're about different, like, anarchist art groups or, like, performance art direct action groups.
People who are trying to survive as art and or cultural workers.
Yeah, and people who tried to make the system better and failed. Yeah, we talk about that a lot.
We're also talking to people who are currently trying to make the system better, like all the folks at MoMA who are striking for their union.
We have a couple dispatch episodes. Those are episodes like this one where we just are recording outside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so sorry, there's people and vehicles outside. You're gonna have to forgive us.
Okay, so everybody say goodbye.
Say bye, everybody.
Say bye.
Let's have fun.
Let's have fun.
Man, take my hand, make my life exciting. Then see you stand by me, always supporting. Just drive a truck. I'm Gary Field. Just drive a limousine. It really doesn't matter if you drive a Ferrari. I really don't care, cause I just love your company.
Hello and welcome to Art and Labor, the podcast about the ongoing struggle to survive as an art and or cultural worker. I am OK Fox.
And I'm Lucia Love. Hello, everybody. We're here at Newtown, sitting across the street next to a real cool occult feminist store.
Yeah, they got the Kenneth Anger shit, they got the Divine shit, and then they got stuff to cast spells with, so it seems like a good store to me.
They've got buttons that make you feel good about bleeding.
You know, some people do it, and some people are alien beings with no blood.
And some people feel bad about it, but you don't have to.
Don't worry. Don't worry, buddy, we all bleed, it's just which type.
Mm-hmm.
Again, or unless you're like an alien creature, like I was saying before, but like that'd be neat. But
yeah,
we're just doing a quick one, because I don't know what we might be. I don't know. There's a lot going on. I'm in like a show tomorrow.
Oh yeah, congratulations.
I don't even. It's very weird. It's very odd to be in. Like, it's like, well, so Chelsea in the summer, they all go away.
Right.
And they put all the weird shit, just like garbage. They're just like, oh, here's all this garbage we have lying around.
Hell
we'll do
yeah.
The show.
I got my break in the summertime.
But here's the thing. It's not garbage. It's actually the only good stuff they show for a lot of the time, like all year. Like, it's like, they put it, like, it's like all the freaks and shit that they like, but they're like, oh, this won't sell.
Yeah, kids that just need a chance.
Or like, yeah, just like, yeah, you know, having fun. It's like the having fun shows, and they're always like have more hearts and more interesting stuff than the regular curation program for most of these places.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I'm really anti-gallery, so I'm like,
well,
very
you know,
odd.
A gallery is just an empty room.
Yeah.
At a certain point.
I don't know, yeah. And it's curated by Tommy Hartung, who's a really interesting artist who was my teacher in undergrad. And he Yeah, it's named after the Valerie Solanas play, like Up Your Ass.
Oh yeah.
From the Cradle to the Boat or whatever, like, and it's the one that Andy Warhol lost and then was found again.
The one that he didn't read. Yeah. And then he got it.
And so the show is about modes of decommodifying art. Or, like, it's like a what if Warhol did die.
Yeah.
Show or something. Or, like, what if we didn't go the Warhol route and
oh,
we went.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, that's kind of what the show is about. So.
Alternate realities.
Yeah, or
it's
just
like a fanfic.
Or deconstruction.
Of real history.
Ugh, yeah, it is a fanfic. You know, as we're pro Solanas on this pod. Hey, newbies.
Yeah. Hello. Oh, hello, all the new followers. Come to C24 Gallery and you can check out OK's artwork there and just. Let the shame rain down. You're corporate now.
To be clear, we're anti-turf, extremely anti-turf, but we are pro-Solanas in the sense that Andy Warhol should have died and he fucked up art. And
wait, I thought that Valerie Solanas actually had this thing about, like, the trans community being really good for feminism because it just meant there were more people who were against, like, cis dudes.
I mean, yes. I mean, I'm sure, like, that. It's you know.
I might have just been, like, wishfully putting that in.
I want to believe, like, you know, and people change and whatever, and, like, you know, and, you know, I don't know. I don't think.
It was a rougher time
back
then,
too. It was a weird, rough time. She was dealing with a lot. In her brain and shit. So,
at least she's not
whatever.
Like Germaine Greer.
Yeah.
That lady.
Ugh.
Bad news. Ugh. Bad news, blech. Lady.
Oh my god, and all this shit. There's a lot of anti-turf talk on this pod. But yeah, the shit in London is just so gross.
But there's. Before we go down that rabbit hole.
No, don't want to do that.
We're talking to a bunch of new listeners who might have jumped on the pod because they saw a tweet that went hella viral.
Yeah, we did it. We went around the web and back again.
Yeah. People were, like, texting to say that they were like, oh, wait, this is your podcast?
Interesting.
Now I register that you have a podcast because I see this tweet.
Yeah, and I think, like, you know, we'll maybe, instead of having a dozen listeners, we'll maybe have 24 listeners now. But I think what's more important is we have 600 followers on Twitter, so we can point to people and be like, see?
Yeah. Would you look at that legitimate shit?
That's enough, right? That's not nearly enough.
That's not, no. That's, we're babies and we're still excited.
I mean, it is pretty nuts that it's, and then I realized that, like, this artist who's, like, internet friends with, Nikki Flowers, shout out Nikki Flowers, is super cool, at Yiff Police.
What's up, Nikki?
Wrote a really similar tweet, like, around the same time that I wrote it. And, like, hers got way more than ours. But I would speculate that I don't think she got as many followers. Like, I think she probably got a good chunk, but it's, like, I think it's, like, our name.
Yeah, it might be that, like, the article about why artists might be poor is very related to the art and labor.
Yeah.
Umbrella.
It's just very clear cut, like.
Yeah, this is what we're about.
If this tweet makes you angry, then
come see more. Yeah, you can definitely get a direct channel to lots of angst.
But yeah, you should buy Nikki's music and follow Nikki at Yiff Police.
Oh yeah, Nikki is an artist.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, we're a very pro furry podcast.
Mm-hmm. Pro furry.
Me and my friend Sessa compiled a zine called Further Affinity, which was about trying to legitimize furry culture into the fine art canon, or like as like, but like trying to be like the fine art canon is bullshit and this is more legitimate. So
build the bridge.
It was more like fine art. You should be as legitimate as the furry economy.
And it's great. I made some very romantic, pornographic drawings, and they are inside. Yeah.
Lucia made like the centerfold of the book. It's very
a lot. It's very, very good. Porn. It's very porn. It's,
Not as you know, and then you know.
In a really romantic way.
And it, of course, it's like very. It's not all porn, but it's you know. It's that idea of like fetish artists and niche art communities are often a more ethical art economy than fine art or like other things. I mean, that's not always the case. There's all sorts of weird problems, but like
no, but for the most part, it's just like oh shoot, I wish I had a fursona, but I can't draw so good. Hey, can you help me make a fursona? And then someone goes. Yeah, of course. I want you to be happy.
and then they get addicted, and then they're like, I want everybody to draw my fursona. And they just, like,
and
collect them.
That's when you gotta take
really...
it. Take it to the galleries, okay?
Yo, really, though, like, I, like, the, it has become, since that zine, we made that in 2014 or
15. It was a few 15? Years ago.
And I feel like since then there's been like, there was a show at the New Museum, and there's been a lot of like, there are these artists that are blending the line between like my deviant art and, but I'm in a gallery.
Oh, totally. Yeah, like Irina Jurek does a lot of that stuff.
Yeah. And I was thinking, I don't know, Porpentine is awesome, and, who else? Oh, I saw a really great show at Hester Gallery.
Yeah.
It was really, Andrea Crespo? What's her name? Her name's Andrea something. She's so cool. There's a bunch of artists who are thinking about those things.
Oh, yeah, who is it, like... It's kind of different, but do you know David Rapinoe?
I don't think so.
Oh, man. It's not really, like, furry, but it is sort of, like, transhuman, like, sexy, distorted, like, covered in brands.
Whoa.
People just doing cool stuff.
Whoa. That sounds good. My friend was showing me this other artist that's... There's, like, this anime term called like it's like anthropomorphic moe, where they turn objects into cute people.
Oh yeah.
And there's an artist who's doing work around that idea too. There's a bunch. I don't know, it's really, I like it. I like the blending the lines. I like it.
Yeah.
I think it's good. But yeah, talk about blending the lines. This tweet has hit so many different lines and ways of thinking about what it means to make art. And
yeah, people are really sounding off in the comments, and we're very interested in pulling out a few of the shiners.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, right away, this one just happened, but, like, this one that's somebody pointing out, because our tweet is worded in you know, artistic labor is constantly being exploited or whatever the hell.
Yeah.
So it's been very open-ended the way people interpret that. So this person did a screenshot of, It's an artist who's said, hey, guess what? Giant clothing brand stole my work and chopped it up and put it on a shirt. And it's like her art and then this shirt. But her art is like Steven Universe fan art.
Right.
So it's very like, yes, that is your original work. And a big big clothing brands are big enough to not pull out shit, and they should not.
This actually was the same argument that, like, Jamie and Spaghetti name, like, she, took, this lettering from a mural that was actually, like, a John Lennon quote, and then the guy who made the mural started coming after her.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And she was like, it's a John Lennon quote.
Yeah.
And then the whole world sounded off again.
Oh.
Furiously taking sides because he was just a lowly muralist.
Yeah. It's a gray area, to be sure. I think it's a matter of you know, how big the thing is. I think if your shit's getting ripped off by some rando running a bootleg biz, there's not much you can do about that.
Yeah.
I don't like, but
it's hard. I mean, don't tweet at us or do. I mean, do whatever you want.
But I think if it's a big brand, yeah, name and shame them and get us on. And like, honestly, if it's a bootleg brand, name and shame them too. But it's just like, it's like there's not a lot you can do to prevent that from happening. It's like we live under capitalism, where people are constantly have to finagle all sorts of fucking bullshit to survive, and it's like.
Well, not only that, but there's no way, unless you actually have, like, copyrighted this thing and, you know, gone through any number of safety, rigmarole.
And it's like, copyright for which country? Copyright for what? And it's just like,
There's no way to save yourself.
But I would say it's a much bigger deal, too, when it's your own original thought and not fucking fan art. Like, like the fan art shit. It's its whole other thing. It's like a no man's land.
You're already. Yeah. It's what, like, are you gonna do?
Like, make. I am very, very for fan art. Like, I think there are media companies that are making way too much money, and we should all get a piece of that. And we should all finagle and do that.
Well, this whole thing just feels like it's edging now into the conversation around cultural appropriation, where someone is like, hey, man, you're not allowed to make a dream catcher, or, like, you're not allowed to wear a kimono, or, like, hashtag not my prom dress, or whatever. Like, it's just turning into this thing where, like, people have forgotten also the working... aspects
Mimi
of
Tai
culture.
Nguyen, how do you say her last name, writes about this really well.
Because, like, culture is viral, and it's kind of, like, impossible for it not to be, like, constantly mutating and like, synthesizing with other stuff.
No, it's, look up Mimi Tai Nguyen.
Cool.
What's she up to? A scholar
and a punk
zinester person, who writes about this sort of thing, or at least I'm pretty sure it's her. I'll try to find it and put it in the show notes, as I think I have some interesting reading about that idea, because there are some, you know. Some things are a cultural exchange. Like, some things are, like, you think something is from one culture, you'd be surprised it's actually from all these other ones, too.
Yeah.
Like, if you actually look at the history of a thing, of, you know.
And, down to everything, like, I don't know, where do potatoes come from, you know?
I would say a good metric is what is appropriate. So, like, I do think... it's inappropriate to wear shit as a fucking Halloween costume. To wear shit as, like...
Well, there's certain things, like, don't do blackface.
Yeah, like, don't. And,
like, there's no reason to do blackface. Like, that's just...
Ever.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and you gotta... And,
like, don't run around in an Indian, quote-unquote, actually Native American costume when it's just like, oh, that person...
No.
Yeah, is not considering what they're wearing at all. But, like...
No. I don't know. If you're, like... I feel like it's, like, you know... Because I really like... When I was a kid, you were assigned to dress up like a character from history. And it's, like... You should be able to do that without putting on black or brown face or yellow face. It's a good discourse of, like, you know, you need to know what's appropriate.
Yeah. Go like Tropic Thunder.
Yeah. Oh, God.
And just do it, you know. Tropic Thunder, high five for really tackling all of these issues.
Oh, fuck. No, that was like, oh my God, I don't even.
I know.
It was
so
much.
Painful.
It's so much. Like, really, like, a lot of my favorite comedians have tried to do some weird takedown of blackface.
No.
And it's just like,
it's always weird.
It's always weird. And why even do it? Why? It's not, there's no point. There's so much. Like, it's just small-mindedness. There's a lot of better things to consider making jokes about.
Yeah, like the people who keep commenting on this tweet, it's been over 24 hours and people are just still chiming in with really cool stuff about what they think an artist is and what an artist is supposed to do, and...
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, oh, well, you know... Like, there's a lot of sentiments that artist's bullshit and it just deserves any crumbs.
Yeah, I really just want to anonymously read some of some of the science that comes out of these people. This one, I'm just going to read it. Let us look at the averages. Artists are often work shy. There isn't too much in transferable skills unless you have contacts in differing industries. Artists' work is often low in value due to art gaining value with age, and artists often have no business sense. Which, I'm just gonna say, like, fuck off. Artists are work shy? Listen, people I know, they just don't stop working.
No, these folks have no idea what they're talking about. They think they know.
No transferable skills? Dude, I can, like, build a house. I can build a whole house at this point from, like, combined carpentry and, like, welding skills and just...
Yes, I want to say, this is something I want to reiterate on the podcast, is that, like, an artistic boycott... or like strike need, or like in that type of thinking, or like a unionization needs to include builders, painters,
yes, like everyone with creative skills,
everybody who does security for the museums, does like works the concession stands, like at museums, works the coat check, like that's all part of, like, not just artists, like, it's all of the art and cultural workers as well. We all need to find solidarity and common ground. Like, if we are really thinking about how is it possible to seize the means of artistic production, we need to include everybody who's involved in the institutions and the galleries and the museums.
Ooh, wow, I like this one. Replying to Art and Labor Pod. Yeah. And it's gonna keep getting exploited until dumbasses like you learn how to maintain your art like an actual business instead of crying every time you get lowballed. Every other type of artist does fine except you doodle bitches crying about being exploited.
Yo, doodle bitches crying about being exploited is our shirt. Yeah.
Holy
dude, shit.
Yeah, yo, doodle bitches.
Doodle bitches.
Where my doodle bitches at?
Yo, that's something we also need to reiterate is...
I think we're going to exploit your labor, sir.
There's a lot of sentiment of, like, you know, it's all a bullshit... It's all a bullshit job anyway. It's not a real job, and so it doesn't deserve money. There's so many jobs that are bullshit jobs.
Seriously.
Like,
Have you seen what most people do in an office? Like,
if you ever have worked in an office, it's like, it's all people just trying to waste as much time as possible.
They're all playing that Candy Crush.
Just like checking Facebook, checking the news, like just sitting around.
Yeah, they take a whole day to write an email. Like
they'll write 3 emails and then they'll spend the rest of the day trying not to do anything for the rest of the day. And like, unless there's like a serious deadline, and then they'll work for like that one day, but then the rest of the week it's like bullshit time. It's like, oh, okay, so your real job managing of fucking like, you know, like construction company or something where you,
oh, not
you
even
like, what is your, what is a real job to these,
yeah,
people?
A real job is a doctor, probably. I mean, if you close your eyes, you can imagine a real job. It's like, oh, hi, I'm a doctor.
But not the people who are replying to our tweet, though. These aren't doctors.
No,
doctors,
these are, you are definitely not all doctors.
No.
I'm sorry. Step
no.
down.
No, so that's what I'm getting at. It's like, what's like...
Yeah.
Like, okay, so, you, like, a food service worker, a... Like, what type of jobs are there?
A policeman.
Right, like, we're not much, like, in the United States, there's not much factory work. Like, it's like, and this is what Hita Strayal, yeah, our girl,
mm-hmm,
would say, too, is, like, you know, like, this, like, it's all a factory. Like, it's, we're all doing, like...
Society is a factory.
Like, the...
We're just another brick in the wall.
Like... There's, the factories have left a vacuum of labor, and we're all just fucking doing weird bullshit to figure out, like, I would, there's so many people would fucking love a job like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where, you know, where you're unionized and you have, like, decent hours and health insurance and you can buy a house and, like, we don't have any of that.
Oh, no. Yeah. Like, there's no possible way there's to be a freelancer, apparently. Well, you have to have some kind of an organization to meet inside of for a union to catch. But I love this. Or, well, you know, maybe there doesn't. It just seems like that's what's happening. But here's a really good job you could have. Scientist. Apparently, scientists are the antithesis of artists, and they have... they're the ones who have conducted the survey that says that artists are wired not to enjoy money. And everyone wants to side with it, like, well, why don't you just listen to the good and rational mind of a person who... did a study with 24 people.
God, fucking... Oh, it's so... People just read headlines and are just like, checks out to me, it sounds like science.
And anyway, what does science sound like? Because science is always wrong.
Yeah, it's not. There's no... Hey, welcome to the pod. If you think that there are clear, measurable... ways to determine people's brain chemistry, you're a fucking fascist. Like, I'm sorry. Like, there's not. Yeah. There's not.
Yeah, just take your phrenology.
It's fucking phrenology.
And shove it. Next, you're gonna say artists look a certain way? Are they gonna have, like, dirt naturally growing under their fingernails or something? Are they gonna be...
Oh, my God.
What? Like, are they gonna be naturally sicker? Or is it, like...
Here's something else I want to say on the pod is that we believe that everybody has the right to be artists.
And that
everybody
being an artist
should be artists.
Being an artist doesn't mean anything.
And that it's,
also,
it's like a meaning. It's like it's
you can be creative.
Yeah.
Create whatever you want to create. Don't wait for the revolution.
No, the thing is, we're working under capitalism now, and working within these weird bullshit structures and hierarchies about what an artist is, And so sometimes we have to talk in those terms, but ultimately a system without capitalism would mean that everybody could have time to do creative things.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It wouldn't be a specialized, I mean, it could still be like, you could be specialized as a painter, you could be specialized as,
you would, you have know. The time to hone your skills.
Yeah.
And if you didn't want to do that, you would have the time to sit around and have a picnic.
Yeah.
Because socialism is designed to give everybody more free time, not just the wealthy.
Yeah, yeah. So it could be a more accessible thing everybody could get in touch with and participate in, and it wouldn't be structured around these weird garbage schools and these weird garbage canons of art, which are all so fucking bogus. Like, it's, you know, we got a lot of the people who respond to our tweet are like more like illustration-y type folks, I would say.
Mm.
And like,
and they're artists.
They're,
I mean,
they're artists.
Nothing means anything.
No, nothing. That's what I'm saying.
They're
nothing,
creating.
Like, but because I interact with a lot of illustrator and comics people through running zine fairs, and there's often a friction of like, or like they tell, like people tell me, oh, when I was younger, I never felt like I could go to a gallery or whatever, or like, it's pretentious and garbage and
elitist temple.
And it is, and it's, but it's, you know, there's, it's like, it's, there are all these different schools of thought, and I think there, it's just like, who's got money in the race is basically how they're structured. And if we just get beyond that and all just like, then we can all just think about things however we want and argue,
yeah.
And like,
we could just like, enjoy
and
art
argue
for the content
ourselves. Like, we wouldn't have to worry. Like, I would get into situations where I felt like I couldn't like criticize someone's work because, oh, this person might give me a job or something.
Right.
And it's just like, we shouldn't have to, you know, if you care about the art world, you should also care about socialism, because it's like, we could have a better art making situation, and we can invite more people
mm-hmm.
in and have more time to dedicate to it. Because that's like a really fun way to spend life, is to make stuff.
Oh yeah, and to appreciate the stuff that other people make.
Yeah, and it's really, you know, and then, you know, we could also learn other skills. Because, you know, I've tried to get jobs other places. I've been like, I'm fucking fed up with the art world. I don't want to do it.
Oh, yeah. That transferable skill thing isn't necessarily wrong. I've definitely tried to shop a resume around,
yeah.
too.
Oh, yeah. They don't want to hire you because sometimes you're overqualified or whatever, or like...
Or they just simply don't understand the mishmash,
yeah.
of like famous quote-unquote names that you've been like toiling under,
yeah.
and doing abstract,
yeah.
like emotional labor for.
Oh my god, the stuff, if people really understood what it's like to try, because the thing, we're all put, there are so many fucking art schools, and they just churn out more and more people all the time, and then we're just like stuck. And it's like, and there's so much comments on the tweet being like, oh, well, you made your choice.
Yeah.
Cool. A lot of these folks made their choice when they were fucking 18.
Just like everybody else who goes to school. And like,
yeah.
We also should stop, like, organizing people's life paths where they accrue a huge amount of debt,
no.
before they're actually, like, legally allowed to even rent a car. Like, why are we trusting people,
no.
with so much money? And
it doesn't make any sense. I mean, you can't even drink, but here, bet $100,000 on your future.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah, it doesn't make
You're
any 18, sense.
You're 18, do it.
And the, well,
like,
the whole thing about, like, I guess the rental age, I think it's like 24 or
it's
something,
like 24,
to rent it.
25.
Yeah, exactly.
It's,
like,
yeah.
But they actually did that, like, some wonderful insurance company sat down with scientists.
We hate
and
scientists.
Fuck you, scientists. Yeah. You rational bastards. So, I don't know. They sat down and did another study on the brain that said there was, like, some part that didn't fully develop, which was in charge of making rational decisions. Until you're 24.
Yeah, I mean, like, I fucking buy it. Like,
who knows? But I mean, if people hold that as true, then we really shouldn't be making any major decisions before then. Right? Come on. Extend childhood.
Dude, that should be a tenet of our manifesto is
extend childhood. There is literally no reason to be making so many life-shattering decisions when you are a teenager.
Well, I think it's like part of that would be college should be totally free.
Yeah.
And so then it's not as big of a deal if you need to start over or whatever.
Yeah. Also, why do we have majors? Like, why can't we just learn things that interest us? We do that anyway. Yeah. Everybody fails out of stuff they don't want to take.
Everything is structured very wrong. The deck is stacked against everybody. And then, like, people just want to place individual blame instead of... We live in a society that doesn't take care of its people and would rather people just starve. So people feel very attached to their creative labor because people, I think, underestimate how many folks, this is what they survive on, literally pay rent with, you know, they might have another job doing part-time bullshit somewhere, but this is their other, their main job whatever. Like,
I made a really great friend who works at the Colson coffee shop in my neighborhood. Mm. Who I was like, there's something really special about you. Like, oh, what? I mean, I really like seeing you, really like talking to you. Oh, what's up? What's your life like outside of this coffee shop? And they're like, oh, I'm a photographer for Condé Nast. Here's your coffee.
Oh my god.
Because these motherfuckers do not ever pay on time.
No, the huge businesses just refuse to pay anything. And part of that is like, you know, it's like nearly impossible to, it is impossible to run a, journalist outlet under capitalism. Like, because there's no incentive to grow it. They're not going to grow. Like, it just needs to be funded by the public. Like, it's so fucking dumb.
Yeah.
That there aren't more, like, worker cooperative models to journalism blows my fucking mind. I hate it. And that there aren't more worker cooperative models to making art and shit.
Or to business in general. Yeah. That it's incredible how many top-down structures people absolutely refuse to let go of. And then there's all of these, like, weird aging CEO types that are like, I don't know, maybe I'll, like, do a private sale and make sure that I don't just hand my company over to the workers who have been running it.
Ugh. Yeah, exactly. They're like, oh, time to flip it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, sure. That's the even better part when they're like, actually, what if this whole thing dissolves? Because I would rather everyone get buried in the pyramid with me.
Ugh, God. It's disgusting. They should be ashamed of themselves. Rich people should be ashamed of themselves. Billionaire is a slur, and use it. that's the discourse today, I think.
Yeah.
But I agree.
Yeah.
Billionaires are fucking disgusting filth on the earth.
It's just
scum. Garbage.
Making trash.
Killing people. If you're hoarding that much wealth, you're killing people. You're a murderer. Billionaires are murderers.
Oh, yeah. And some of them out and outright are murderers.
Welcome to the pod. Billionaires are murderers. I hope you stick around.
Yeah. Let's have fun.
Let's have fun. Yeah, how long are we going? Yeah, let's wrap up.
Yeah, this one's a quickie. I think we hit it.
It doesn't matter if you're drama limousine. It really
Let's have fun. Let's have fun. Let's have fun. Let's have fun. Lots of fun. Let's have fun. Let's have fun. Let's have fun. Lots of fun.